Bill Gates recently wrote a piece for a website called impatientoptimist.org, which he titled The Most Important Statistic in the World. He wrote, "Two of my passions are child health and statistics. So I look forward to mid-September every year to the day when UNICEF reports how many fewer children died the previous year. Every single year, for at least the last 50 years, the number has gone down. Every single year." Gates wrote, "I challenge you to name something else that gets better on that kind of schedule." Keep in mind, we're talking about the most important statistic in the world. Who is alive? This year, the number is 6.6 million. That's 300,000 fewer children dying than last year. To give a longer view, that's 6 million fewer than in 1990. I was stunned when I read this piece by Gates, and so we called UNICEF and said, "Can we have somebody come on here and confirm if these numbers are right? This is an amazing story that I don't hear anywhere else." Well, here to talk about it is Carol Stern, who is the president and CEO of the U.S. Fund for UNICEF. Hi, Carol. Welcome to America Weekend.
Well, thanks. Good morning.
Is Gates right here?
Gates is right. You know, and as astounding as that number is now, in the 80s, that number was over 30,000 children dying every single day.
Wow. And now the number is down to under 20,000, I understand.
Yeah, the recent announcement is the number's gone down to 18,000. So we've kind of halved the number, and in that same time period, the world's population has tripled. So if we had done nothing and everything had stayed as it was, we're not talking 30,000 kids every day. We had the potential for 90,000 kids every day.
What is saving so many children?
You know, it's really interesting because it is simple, it's affordable interventions that make a real difference. You know, simple things like growth monitoring, like immunizations, breastfeeding, just teaching moms to breastfeed, and then something as simple as oral rehydration salts, because the primary killers of children today are pneumonia, diarrhea, and malaria, and you can treat that diarrhea by just keeping that child hydrated.
Well, keeping them hydrated is a problem because a lot of the world doesn't have drinkable water.
Absolutely, you know, but that's why part of what UNICEF does are simple interventions. There's teaching a community about hand washing and sanitation. You know, again, low cost, major impact. Immunizing. UNICEF is responsible today for immunizing about half of the world's children. So ensuring that a child gets that protection. Immunizing mom. You know, what an amazing thing that I learned in my years at UNICEF, a disease like tetanus. I mean, something we don't even think about here. You know, you step on a nail, you get a tetanus shot. In many countries around the world, mom gives birth at home. The umbilical cord is going to be cut with whatever the sharpest thing in the hut is, and often that's a dirty piece of metal, and unknowingly she can infect her child with tetanus.
Mm.
If mom is immunized during her childbirth years, she'll pass that immunization on to that child. So for the first several months of that child's life, he or she's protected. So you don't have to change the practices of giving birth at home as much. You've got to make sure mom's got what she needs.
How do you get to many of these people? We're talking mostly about third world people, right?
Yeah, we're talking about developing nations. And UNICEF is really committed to reaching the hardest to reach, the child nobody gets to. Whether he's hardest to reach because of economics or geography. You know, you see our videos of the donkeys going over the mountain, you know. You reach him any way you can. You know, we're using technological innovation of SMS kinds of messages. We use child-to-child radio where there are radio stations. We use just sheer manpower. UNICEF has 10,000 staff on the ground in 190 countries around the globe, countries and territories.
I am a big promoter of science on this show and through most of the things I do in my life, and it bothers me to no end that we have so-called educated people here in the United States and in other Western countries who fight against vaccinations because of lies that they've learned from other people who don't understand science or who believed bad science. If that's going on in the world that we live in, how much does the UNICEF have to fight in some of these developing countries to convince people how good vaccines can be?
You know, it's easier today than it was 30 years ago. You know, more and more people are cognizant of it. You know, I actually had the privilege to participate in a polio vaccination campaign last summer, actually with a bunch of basketball players from the NBA. It was a lot of fun up in Kenya. And what struck me was we were really in the middle of nowhere, in Kakuna, you know, in the real north region of Kenya where the famine was in the area, and, you know, just a really desolate area, and they were had been made aware there would be immunizations. And some of the women and babies there had left their homes at 3, 4 in the morning in the dark, carrying a baby on her back, no shoes, to walk, you know, the sometimes 5 to 8 hours to get to the spot where we were providing immunization. And so I feel like you do. I read those articles, and it makes me wild that something we have such easy access to, people promote lies about, when women and children put their lives at risk to ensure that their child gets immunized in another nation.
That's an enormous obstacle to overcome in a country, just getting people from where they are to where the help is. What other obstacles do you have to fight against?
Well, you know, I think the biggest obstacle for me in my day-to-day job is, where's the mountaintop? How loud can I yell off of it to get America on her feet? Because, you know, I've sat in a hut and in a hospital and held the hands of a mom and watched her baby die of tetanus, which is one of the reasons I mentioned the disease, knowing that less than $1 would have paid for the vaccine and less than $5 would have paid for the vaccine and getting it into her child's arm, or the medicine to cure that child, and that the child, you know, we don't get to pick where we're born. You know, nobody would choose poverty if they could. So why does my child get a good seat at the table and her child get no chair at all? And so, and I think Americans, you know, we're good people. We're compassionate. We give. But every day we don't realize that 18,000 children die. 18,000 moms will not say good morning to a child tomorrow that they kiss goodnight tonight.
And many of those moms are not going to be much more than a child themselves.
Exactly. You know, and that's the other thing. And that's why education is, first of all, the best tool. You know, you asked about what are the interventions. Education is the best tool in the arsenal because it equips a child to hopefully interrupt that cycle of poverty long term. You know, I have just written a book. Actually, it's coming out Monday, called I Believe in Zero, because I do believe that number 18,000 has to come all the way down to zero. And I the only thing I have seen that is complete cultural change is when children learn to read, they learn to write, they understand there's a world beyond the hut that they're in, they begin to explore options, career opportunities, and they themselves then are equipped to take on the challenge. And so, as I said, my challenge is to get those of us who are blessed, fortunate, whatever word we want to use, enough to be able to help to do so.
The UN, through UNICEF, is doing remarkable stuff here, but most Americans see the UN only when they all gather together, as they did this week, to give speeches in the General Assembly. Why don't kids go out and collect pennies for UNICEF? Well, that was a big deal of Halloween every year when I was a child. We never have a kid coming to our door with a UNICEF box now. What happened to that campaign?
It actually does still go on. We raise between $4 and $5 million a year from.
That's not nearly enough.
For UNICEF, not nearly enough. It's been constant at that number for so many years. You can still get your trick-or-treat boxes if you go to unicefusa.org. You can log on and we'll send you boxes. We have lesson plans for teachers. We have activities you can do with your kids. What happened is we were the original Kids Helping Kids campaign. We automatically distributed through schools across America, through religious institutions, and then a number of other very, very worthy causes followed suit and began campaigns. And so schools made rules, and the only way we now can get boxes in a school is if they're requested.
Wow.
And so it takes a mom, a dad, an auntie, a granny, a neighbor, or a child to say, I want to do that program.
Yeah, but even if they have the boxes, unless the people in the houses where the doors are being knocked upon are ready with the pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, or whatever other change they have sitting there by the door like they used to in the old days, I hate to say it that way, it frustrates me because this is so unbelievable and these numbers don't get reported enough, which is why I wanted to have you on to showcase them today, Carol. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much for your time. And again, it's unicefusa.org and the book is I Believe in Zero.
Carol Stern is the president and CEO of the U.S. Fund for UNICEF. 18,000 kids a day dying. That's actually good news. Not because they're dying, but because it's so much less than it used to be. And maybe someday we can get that number to zero. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Networks.
America Weekend.